It's time for your North Iowa News on 95.1 The Bull for Friday, February 14th. I'm Mark Pitts reporting. National Weather Service in La Crosse has issued a special weather statement for northeast Iowa counties, including Mitchell, Howard, Winneshiek, Allamakee, Floyd, Chickasaw, Fayette, and Clayton. Strong and gusty winds are expected this afternoon in northeast Iowa, along with a burst of accumulating snow. Wind gusts of up to 35 miles per hour this afternoon, in combination with the 1 to 5 inches of snow already on the ground, are likely to cause some drifting, making roads slick. More snow is expected by late afternoon, with about 1 to 2 inches falling by 6 p.m. The combination of blowing and drifting snow, falling snow, and winds gusting to 35 miles per hour is likely to make for slippery and slower evening commutes. If driving in northeast Iowa this afternoon, be alert for rapidly changing road conditions, as drifting snow may cause local slick spots. The burst of snow should end by 7 p.m., and winds will also diminish through the evening. More snow is expected tomorrow. The snow will be followed by a period of dangerous cold, expected from Sunday through Thursday of next week. Morning wind chills will range from 20 to 40 degrees below zero. National Weather Service in Des Moines cautions, while less snow is forecast for north and north-central Iowa, west and southwest of the Charles City area, blowing and drifting snow is likely due to gusty southerly winds of 30 to 40 miles per hour. Impacts to travel may occur, especially on east-west highways, with visibility reductions to around 1 mile at times. On Saturday, a wintry mix potential will persist south with some icing possible. On another travel note, the National Weather Service in La Crosse has issued a winter weather advisory in effect from 2 o'clock this afternoon until 6 o'clock Saturday morning for southeast Minnesota and southwest and west-central Wisconsin. Though the region now has a fresh blanket of snow, there's no change in the latest U.S. drought monitor for Iowa in north-central and northeast Iowa. Because the latest report is based on precipitation through 7 a.m. Tuesday, February 11th, prior to snow late Tuesday night and to Wednesday, all of north, central, and northeast Iowa remain rated in the D1 category for moderate drought. That area includes all of Allamakee, Blackhawk, Bremer, Buchanan, Butler, Cerro Gordo, Chickasaw, Clayton, Fayette, Floyd, Franklin, Grundy, Hancock, Hardin, Kossuth, Mitchell, Winnebago, and Worth counties. The snows this week did enable several area counties to lift bans on open burning that had been in place for almost 2 weeks, including Floyd, Franklin, Winneshiek, Grundy, Hardin, and Clayton counties. And while these counties also received snow this week, burn bans are still technically in place in Howard, Bremer, Buchanan, and Delaware counties. Charles City Police are investigating two reports of scams less than 30 minutes apart, with one victim being bilked out of almost $40,000. CCPD says they spoke with a subject from the 900 block of Clinton Street in reference to a scam call shortly after 10 o'clock yesterday morning. In that incident, the subject did not give out any information. Less than a half hour later, CCPD took another report of a scam in the 1000 block of Court Street. In that case, the victim was targeted by an online scam involving individuals posing as customer service representatives for financial institutions, agents with the FBI, and employees with the Social Security Administration. CCPD says the victim, who was not identified, lost approximately $39,700. The process of formulating the 2025-26 fiscal year budget for Chickasaw County continues. Tuesday, the Board of Supervisors discussed budgets of various county departments, including public health and home care services, led by Administrator Lisa Welter. While home care services do generate revenue for the county, Supervisor Jacob Hackman asked if it's at a level that will keep pace with the overall cost to fund the public health budget.
At what point is the gap too wide? And that's what this board has to decide. Is it the difference right now? 1.4 minus 787. Those are the numbers you presented. You know, is the gap $750,000? Is that gap getting too wide? It's a good service. Don't get me wrong. My family's used it. When is the gap too wide? Bottom line, right?
Public health is not state mandated to provide home care services, but Welter cautions dropping it could have dire results for county residents.
Our people would be stuck at home because the hospital can't keep them because of insurance reasons. They can't go to the nursing home or rehab because of insurance reasons. So they will sit at home and they will get sick and some of them will die.
Welter had proposed an increase of about 2% in the public health budget, but supervisors asked her to revisit the numbers for a 1% increase. Hackman said the discussion is part of an effort to work together with county departments towards a balanced budget.
We're not here to attack other departments and or ask questions. You can ask questions, but each department's different, unique. We have to solve this as a team, not trying to attack or criticize another department.
Hackman added he hopes departments will make their own budget adjustments rather than supervisors directing them what to cut. Hackman did not rule out the possibilities of layoffs or other budget approaches.
We talked about wage freezes and wage hiring freezes. It's not been a new thing. A year ago, we talked about it. We never made a policy on doing that, never made a motion to do it.
The county's biggest budget concern is closing the gap on a projected $1.1 million shortfall in the general basic ending fund balance by June 30, 2026. County Auditor Sheila Shackleton reported this week that $300,000 previously transferred to general services earlier this fiscal year has been approved for transfer back to general basic. A bipartisan cohort of more than 30 Iowa landowners and farmers met with U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley this week to express their frustration with Summit Carbon Solutions' proposed carbon pipeline. The group says, quote, the hazardous liquid pipeline would traverse over 1,000 miles of Iowa farmland and require the use of eminent domain for nearly 1,000 properties. The project is only viable due to government subsidies available to the carbon capture industry, and urged Senator Grassley to abolish a key subsidy known as the 45Q tax credit. The group adds that Grassley, quote, can influence a change in policy to end the incentives that encourage the construction of unnecessary carbon pipelines. Senator Grassley has the ability to protect the land and livelihoods of Iowa farmers by recommending 45Q be cut during the budget reconciliation process currently taking place, end quote. During Monday's meeting, Bremer County farmer Ted Junker told Grassley, quote, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, we've all come together to fight this carbon capture scam. Nearly 80% of Iowans are opposed to using eminent domain for carbon pipelines. This isn't a red or blue issue. It's a common sense issue. Destroying our cropland is not how we support agriculture. Allowing a company to monopolize the ethanol industry is not how we support agriculture, end quote. The group says Grassley did not provide a firm position on the request and that impacted constituents hope to follow up with the senator when they are in Washington, D.C. next month. Sections of Summit's proposed carbon pipeline will be built through Chickasaw, Floyd, Butler, Bremer, Fayette, Franklin, Cerro Gordo, and Mitchell counties, among others. More North Iowa news on the way on 95.1 The Bull.